present a seaside saga of post-war peer perpetuation written by Harold Snowd and Michael Knowles, starring John LeMessurier as Arthur Wilson, Ian Lavender as Frank Pike, and Bill Pertwee as Mr. Hodges in...
It Sticks Out Half a Mile!
The time, 1948, the place, the pier, Framborne-on-Sea, somewhere on the south coast.
When Father painted the parlour, you couldn't see him for paint. Slapping it here, slapping it there, paint the paper everywhere.
Oi, bang off!
Parlour, you couldn't see him for paint.
Put a sock in it, will you?
Hey, don't shake the ladder!
Well, come down a minute.
Oh. Hello, Bert. I didn't hear you.
I'm not surprised with all that racket going on.
Sorry.
You know, when you suggested painting the Crooked House, I didn't realise you was going to paint everything else within a 50-foot radius.
I wasn't.
Well, you have.
Oh, dear. Must have splashed a bit.
Well, for a start, I'd like to be able to see out of the windows.
Yes. I've gone over the frames a bit, haven't I?
A bit? I was sitting in the office and I thought there was a total eclipse of the sun. By the way, where did you get this paint from?
They let me have 10 gallons of Battleship Grey from Woolies at cost.
But this isn't grey.
Ah, no. This is where I've used my artistic flair.
Oh, is that what it is?
Mm. Mr. Guthrie had lots of half-empty tins of paint in his hut, you see. All different colours. So, I did what I used to do in my paint box when I was a little boy.
Really?
I mixed them all together. It was such fun splashing about. I ended up with this colour, see? Nice, innit?
Reminds me of beetroot when it's gone off.
Cooey! Cooey!
Talking of things going off.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, Miss Perkins.
I hope I'm not intruding, but I was just passing on my way to the bank and I thought, goodness me, the Crooked House is on fire.
No, no. Rembrandt here has been demonstrating his artistic flair.
Oh, I see.
Do you like it, Miss Perkins?
It's very eye-catching, isn't it?
I would say it's more stomach-turning myself.
Oh, that's not very nice, Bert.
Well, once you put the top coat on, I expect it'll be all right.
This is the top coat.
Yes, well, it's very nice.
Well, it'll frighten the seagulls away, if nothing else.
I expect you're wondering why I'm here. I don't usually walk this way.
Well, have you got new shoes on?
I mean, I don't usually walk this way to the bank.
Well, we are honoured, then.
I shall talk to you, Mr. Pike. I might get some sense out of you.
I shouldn't bank on it.
You see, since the last meeting of the Friends of Framborne Pier, I've been giving a great deal of thought to your dilapidation.
Beg your pardon?
The state of your pier.
Oh, see.
And then it came to me in the night.
Put your hands over your ears, Parky. You're too young for this.
I shall ignore that remark. You see, Mr. Pike, I've been doing quite a bit of homework recently.
Anyone we know?
As I was saying, I've been doing a bit of research on behalf of the Peer Association. Now, have you ever heard of the War Damage Act?
Ah, well, yes, of course. Which one are you talking about?
1943.
Oh, that War Damage Act!
Well, there you are. There's your answer.
Is it?
What you have to do is apply to the government for compensation to repair damage done to the pier during the war.
Of course!
I expect you were going to do it anyway.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because, as a matter of fact, it was the next thing on my list.
Well, I must dash.
Well, Miss Perkins, have you told Uncle Arthur about this?
Not yet. I was just about to. Oh.
Can you let me do it? Because I want to surprise him. He'll be ever so thrilled.
Oh, all right, then. Now, I really must be off.
Well, thanks, Miss Perkins.
Yes, thanks, Miss P. And any time you're near the pier, do drop in.
War Damage Act, eh? Oh, wait till I tell Uncle Arthur. He'll be over the moon.
I'm very unhappy about this, Mr. Thorndyke. Very unhappy. But in the present economic climate, the bank simply cannot advance you any more money.
But what about all my stock?
But I'm afraid there's not a lot of demand for second-hand railway sleepers.
It's not all railway sleepers. I've got some quite good timber as well.
Yes, but it's all from bomb-damaged property.
So you're not going to help me?
But I'd like to, believe me, but I can't. We're going through a period of austerity. We've all got to tighten our belts.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes, Miss Perkins?
Just to say your table's booked for 1 o'clock at the Esplanade Hotel.
Well, yes.
You're not going to tighten your belt much, are you?
Yes, well, can I see you out, Mr. Thorndyke?
Don't bother. I can see myself out.
Miss Perkins, did you have to say that?
Well, you said after 20 minutes, come in and make some excuse.
Yes, but I mean, you could have said I was wanted at the counter or something. Not that I was lunching at the most expensive hotel in Framborne.
I'm sorry. I didn't think.
Oh, it's all right, Miss Perkins. It's all right. It's just that Mr. Thorndyke was so upset.
You're too sensitive for this job, you know.
Oh. Do you think so?
Oh, yes. You should have been a musician or something like that.
Oh, well, I do play the piano a bit, as it happens.
Well, there you are. Oh, I can just see you sitting there playing the Warsaw Concerto, just like Anton Warbrook in Dangerous Moonlight. Yes.
Well, I don't know about that.
Oh, you could have been a poet.
Oh, no, I think you're going a bit far now.
Oh, no. You could have been another Longfellow or a Browning. You've got that sensitive, poetic look.
Oh, have I?
Oh, to be in England now that April's there.
I beg your pardon?
I was reciting.
Oh, I see.
And whoever wakes in England sees some morning unaware...
Arthur, are you there?
Morning, Mr. Hodges. Miss Perkins was reciting.
Was she?
I was doing that because I was saying to Mr. Wilson that he could have been a Browning or a Longfellow.
Oh, yeah?
Don't you think so, Mr. Hodges?
Well, he's not all that dark, but I suppose he's quite tall.
He shouldn't really be a bank manager.
I think a lot of people would probably agree with you.
I mean, he's too sensitive.
Oh, is he? I didn't notice him being particularly sensitive last time we asked for a loan.
You know perfectly well it's not me. It's head office.
Anyway, it's all water under the bridge now.
Or sea under the pier.
Very witty.
Come in.
Hello, everybody.
Ah, hello, Frank.
I say, you haven't told him, have you, Bert?
No, I've left it to you.
Uncle Arthur?
Mm-hmm.
I've got just three words to say to you. War Damage Act.
Oh, jolly good.
Well, doesn't it mean anything to you?
No, not offhand. Is it some sort of a game?
Have you never heard of that act?
No, but I don't go to the music hall very much.
Hey, Miss Perkins, you hadn't ever thought of him being another Vic Oliver, had you?
He could be anything he wanted to be.
Oh, blimey, talk about blind devotion.
It's an act of Parliament, Uncle Arthur. It means you can get compensation for damage done during the war.
You see, Mr. Wilson, it means you'll be able to get money from the government to repair the pier.
Good idea of mine, wasn't it?
Well, I like that.
Well, I see, but how are you going to set about it?
Well, I shall... How are we going to set about it, Bert?
Well, we shall assemble all the relevant facts and figures, and then we shall all go to Whitehall to present our case.
Of course.
What do you mean, all? I can't go.
You've got to come. You're our financial advisor.
Yeah, Miss Perkins can look after the bank for a day. Nobody will notice the difference.
Yes, but you can't just go to Whitehall. I mean, there must be forms to fill in and all that sort of thing.
Oh, we haven't got time for all that red tape. We're going straight to the top. We'll catch the 10:40 to London tomorrow morning. All right.
Four. Five.
What are you doing, Frank? Come and sit down. It's already drafty in here.
I'm counting the telegraph poles as they go by, Uncle Arthur. Six.
What for, exactly?
To find out how fast we're going. Huh? Seven.
How do you do that, Parky?
Eight. Well, every nine telegraph poles is about a mile.
Yeah.
So you time how long it takes between the poles, then work out the miles per hour.
How fast are we going, then?
According to my watch, it's 10 to 11 now, so that means we're going 320 miles an hour.
Yes, well, somehow I don't think that's quite right, Frank.
Ah, I'll try again, shall I? One...
Oh, give it a rest, Pikey. Do you mind closing that window? I'm getting smuts all over my clean white shirt.
Yes, it's giving it a rather pleasing polka dot effect, hasn't it?
Oh, very funny.
I like looking out the window.
All right. It's awfully dangerous, Frank, you know. If you go through a tunnel, you'll get your head knocked off.
That might save us all a lot of trouble.
Hey, that's not nice, is it, Uncle Arthur?
Now, sit down, Frank.
Oh, all right. There we are.
That's better.
Can we have our sandwiches now, Uncle Arthur? I'm hungry.
Well, it's only 5 minutes since we left Framble.
Thomas, I'm a bit peckish. What sort of sandwich have you got, Parky?
Spam and homemade tomato chutney.
Mum made the chutney from those leftover tomatoes you gave us from your shop, Bert.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she said she had to cook them quickly before they went off. Do you want one?
No, I don't think I'll bother.
Hey, if we're going to go up to London, do you think we'll see the King?
Oh, yes, he'll be collecting tickets at Victoria Station.
No. I mean, if we went to Buckingham Palace and saw the change in the guard, well, perhaps the King and Queen would come out and wave from the balcony.
If they knew we were outside, they'd be bound to.
They waved to us last time we came to London.
Yes, well, that was VJ Day, Frank.
Well?
Well, there were several thousand other people they were waving to as well.
Oh, yeah. That was good, wasn't it? Uncle Arthur had his uniform on. All the girls kept kissing him. Mum got ever so cross.
I came up in my ARP uniform and nobody kissed me.
I wonder why that was.
We can go to Trafalgar Square, can't we? And Piccadilly Circus.
Look, we're supposed to be here on business, not a sightseeing tour.
Sorry.
Well, have the pair of you thought what you're going to say when we get to Whitehall?
Yeah, of course we have. What are we going to say, Parky?
Something like, please, sir, we've got a hole in our pier. Can we have some money to mend it?
Well, I think you'll have to be a little more circumspect than that.
How do you mean?
Well, you've got to be more diplomatic, you see, like this. It has come to our notice that we have an aperture in our pier, and we were wondering if you could furnish us with a wherewithal to repair the aforesaid aperture.
Yes. Well, I don't think that's quite right either, Bert.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I shall march in there and say, look here, Nye Bevan.
But he's the Minister of Health.
Oh. Well, in that case, I'll say, how are you?
Yes.
Get it?
Yes.
Minister of Health, how are you?
Very amusing, yes. I suppose if it was the Minister of Food, you'd say, what's cooking?
Very good, Arthur.
Really?
Or if it was the First Lord of the Admiralty, you could say, hello, sailor.
Hey, can I have a go? If it was the Minister of Transport, you could say, how's it going?
Or if it was the Minister of Aviation, you could say, hi there!
Are you sure this is the right place?
Yeah, this is it, the War Office.
But why the War Office?
That's the obvious place. The pier was blown up, wasn't it? I mean, we could hardly go to the Ministry of Pensions.
Well, no, I suppose not.
Isn't it exciting, Uncle Arthur?
No, not really, no. I've forgotten how awfully noisy London is.
Ooh, the wicked city, eh? Here, when we've finished, we could pop along to the windmill. What do you say, Arthur?
Well,
do they have windmills in London?
It's not that sort of windmill, Frank. It's where they have girls with no...
Yes. Well, that looks like the chap we want to see.
Oh, yes. A typical chinless wonder. Excuse me.
Yes? Can I help you?
We've come about a pier.
Really? Now, are we talking about the wooden object supported on piles or a member of the House of Lords? It's not always easy to tell the difference, you know.
The one that's at sea.
There again, the description could fit either. But as it happens, we can't really help you. Look, why don't you try the Min of Tran?
Min of Tran?
Ministry of Transport.
Well, why there?
Well, because I can't think of anywhere else.
Oh, I see. Right then, off we go.
Come on, Uncle Arthur.
Oh, Lord. All right, I'm coming.
You see, your problem is you don't actually move.
Pardon?
Well, I mean, a pier is a fixed structure, whereas here at the Min of Tran, we're really concerned with things that actually move, if you follow my drift.
Well, I think I do. Do you follow the gentleman's drift, Uncle Arthur?
I don't think I really want to.
You see, strictly speaking, you're more of a ship, really.
Are we?
Oh, I'd say so. Your best plan, without a shadow of doubt, would be to go to the Admiralty.
The Admiralty, right.
After all, you are at sea, aren't you?
In more ways than one.
Come on then, Uncle Arthur.
Oh, dear.
You're not really a ship in the strict sense of the word, are you?
Aren't we?
What I'm trying to say is that you're not a sea-going vessel plying the oceans of the world.
How?
I would think you're more of a harbour, really. Yes, definitely. I should pop along to the harbour authority.
Oh, Lord.
Is your friend all right?
Oh, yeah. Come along, Arthur.
Look, I don't think I can go another step.
Oh, come on, faint heart never won fair lady.
I don't want to win anybody. I just want to lie down.
Oh, dear. So you think you're a harbour, do you?
Oh, that's what we've been told.
Oh, that's a laugh. Oh, dear.
Yes, I suppose it is, eh, Arthur?
Yes, I'm splitting my sides.
I suppose what led them into thinking you were a harbour was the fact that ships do sort of dock alongside a pier.
Well, yes.
But you see, there's more to being a harbour than that. I mean, you've got to be able to service ships, revictual, refuel, that sort of thing. Now, you couldn't do that, could you?
We could sell them ice cream in the summer, I suppose.
Oh, yes, that's very good. No. The chappies you want to see are the War Damage Commission.
War Damage Commission?
You'll find them in Mayfair.
Mayfair, right.
It's only half a mile down the road.
Half a mile.
Oh! Uncle Arthur? Uncle Arthur? Oh, dear. He's fainted.
Why on earth didn't you come to us in the first place?
Why, indeed?
I mean, you've been going round in circles.
You mean we're actually in the right place at last?
Well, of course.
I don't believe it.
Steady on now, Arthur.
Actually, you've struck it lucky today.
Have we?
Yes, the Commissioner, Sir Wensley Smithers, is actually here.
Oh, did you hear that? Sir Wensley Smithers is actually here.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yes. Kempton Park was rained off, so he's got a free afternoon. Well, just go and find out if he'll see you.
Thanks. Well, we made it.
But at what cost?
I must say, Arthur, it was a bit off you fainting like that.
Well, I didn't do it on purpose, you know.
We had to carry you out to the taxi.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it was a bit undignified.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
While you were unconscious, you kept going on about Mavis.
Oh, dear. Did I really?
Yes, you kept saying, put me down, Mavis, I've got a headache.
Oh, oh Lord.
Mavis, here, that rings a bell. Who is she?
She's my mum.
Yes, of course. You still keep in touch then, do you, Arthur?
Well, just occasionally, you know, to make sure she's all right.
No wonder you're always so tired.
Gentlemen, Sir Wensley will see you now.
Oh, thank you. Come along, we mustn't keep Sir Wensley waiting.
Oh, no, that would never do.
In you go, gentlemen.
Oh, thank
you.
Tom.
Thank you.
Oh, come in, chaps. Suit yourselves down. That's it. So it's Mr. Hodges.
Oh, that's me, Sir Wensley.
And Mr. Wilson and Mr. Pike.
Hello. How
you do? You've had quite a day from what I've heard. Expect you could do with a little drop of something to buck you up, eh?
I wouldn't say no.
I usually have a little sniff to myself this time of day.
Well, the point is, Sir Wensley.
Say when.
Oh, right. The point is when.
Oh, only a small one, eh?
Well, no.
Now then, you chaps. How's that?
Oh, that's fine.
Oh, lovely. Thank
you. Oh, jolly good.
No, what I was going to say, Wen, was...
Cheers.
That's better. Yes, you've had quite a day.
We certainly have, Wen.
But...
Not now, Pikey.
But you didn't give up, huh? I admire your tenacity.
Oh, it's very kind of you to say so, Wen.
I've got a little filly. She's got tenacity. Matter of fact, she's running at Redcar tomorrow.
When?
The 2:30.
Oh, really, Wen?
I've just told you, the 2:30.
Oh.
Oh, really? Well, now, let me see if I can find the jolly old Forbes for you.
Bert?
What is it, Frank?
I don't think he wants you to call him Wen.
But he just said Wen.
No, when he said Wen, he didn't mean Wen. He meant Wen. That's the Wen that's to do with the Wen with the drinks.
Well, why didn't you tell me?
Well, he did try.
Wen?
Here we are. I think I've got the right bump here. I say, Mr. Wilson, haven't we met before somewhere?
I don't think so.
Honey, I could have sworn that you... Oh, well. Now, right, let's get a few details down, shall we, Mr. Hodges?
Oh, right, Sir Wensley.
Now, then, first of all, I've got three categories here. Under 25 years, 25 to 50 years, and 50 and over. Which one would yours be?
Well, I'd like to think it was in the 25 to 50 bracket, but in actual fact, it's over 50.
Can you be more precise?
All right, then. I should be 55 in June.
Not you. Not you, the peer.
Oh, I see. Oh, 91.
Now then, there are two further classifications. They are old but useful and old but doubtful. Which would you say was appropriate?
Are we talking about the peer now or Mr. Hodges?
Peer.
Jolly good, I like that. Witty fellow.
Yes, he can be ever so funny, can't he, Bert?
Oh, yes. When he's not falling down at a dead faint, he has us in stitches.
Hold your horses. There was only one chap I ever knew who had that dry, biting wit.
Crippin?
I've got it. Eastbourne. Cram from Pep School, class of 1902.
Yes?
It's Stinker Wilson, isn't it?
Yes,
Yes, that's right, but you're not...
Porky Smithers!
Good Lord.
Well, I'll be blown.
Were you at school together?
I say, he was quite a character. Did you know how he got the nickname Stinker?
Look, no, I don't think there's any need to go into all that.
He was an absolute whiz in the Stink Slap.
Were you really, Uncle Arthur?
No, not really, no.
Oh, don't be so modest. He used to create the most fantastic pongs.
Well, it was nothing, really, nothing at all. But what about you? You used to organise raids on the Lower Fourth and extort their pocket money from them.
By gosh, yes.
And now you're a high-ranking civil servant.
Nothing changes, does it, Parky?
I've always said Uncle Arthur knows all the best people, haven't I, Bert?
Isn't this extraordinary?
Old Stinker here used to come out with these witty lines all the time, and the whole class rolling about.
Did he really?
Oh, yes, he was no end of a wag. The things he used to say. I said... Do you remember that day we came out of the dorm and caught Matron bending?
I can't say I do offhand.
Matron had a rather large posterior, you see, Mr. Hodges.
I think I get the picture.
And Stinker here said... he said, that reminds me, it's melons for lunch.
No, did I really say that?
You don't tell jokes like that at home, Uncle Arthur.
Oh, God, he was so funny.
I think you're exaggerating a bit, you know.
Look, could we get back to the pier, Sir Wensley?
And then there was that speech day.
Yeah.
All the governors sitting on the platform, and you turned to me and you said, do you remember?
Well, it doesn't spring immediately to mind.
Oh, you must remember. All the governors sitting there, and you said to me, if they're all here, who's in the Chamber of Horrors? Isn't that a classic, audience?
A brilliant shaft of wit.
Okay. And then there was the time that the Jackson Miner raided the tuck shop. Huh? You remember? They caught him with his...
Well, didn't we have a good time in London, Uncle Arthur?
Well, if you call traipsing round every government department in London having a good time, yes. Personally, I'm exhausted. It's taken me 24 hours to recover.
Oh, you should have come and meet at the Windmill for a bit of relaxation.
Oh, yes, and that's another thing. Having to wait for you. Did you have to see it three times?
That's the only way you can get a decent seat.
Why is that, Bert?
Well, at the end of each show, people move out to the front rows and then the rest of the audience moves closer to the stage. Oh, they didn't half look fantastic. Oh, those fan dancers.
Oh, I'm sure I could have gone.
No, Frank, no. We had a much nicer time looking at the Elgin marbles.
Did we?
Anyway, the important thing is my idea paid off. We're going to get a grant.
Oh, yes, that's awfully good. We've old Sir Wensley to thank for that.
Well, he was obviously impressed by the force of my arguments.
You don't think that his recognising me as an old school chum had anything to do with it?
Well, perhaps a bit.
I think it was because he thought Uncle Arthur was so witty.
Yeah, well, he did have a strange sense of humour.
Oh, I don't know. What I did think was terribly funny, though, was the way you kept calling him Wen.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? Yeah. Wen.
Hysterical.
Come in.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Hodges, Mr. Pike.
Oh, good morning, Miss Perkins.
I hear you had quite a time in London.
Oh, a highly successful trip.
Mr. Wilson said it was a nightmare.
Did you, Uncle Arthur?
Really? It was his fault. He would drag us off to the windmill.
You didn't, did you, Mr. Wilson?
No, of course not. Of course I didn't. It's just one of Mr. Hodges' jokes, in rather poor taste.
I wanted to go and see the windmill. Uncle Arthur wouldn't let me.
All right, Frank, all right. Don't keep going on.
Anyway, I'm glad my idea paid off.
Well, your idea?
Didn't Mr. Hodges tell you?
Well, I would have got round to it, I expect.
What have you got there, Miss Perkins?
Oh, it's the Thorndyke file. You said you wanted to see it.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Thorndyke?
He's a builder.
Builder?
Yes. He's been having a bit of a tough time recently. Mr. Wilson's been trying to help him.
Well, it's very difficult, you see. The bank can't go on supporting him. We're not a bottomless pit.
Has he got any stock?
Only some old timber.
What sort of timber?
Old railway sleepers, that sort of thing.
Here, that's just what we've been looking for.
Well, I haven't been looking for any.
For the pier.
Oh, I see, yes. Yes, but where's the money coming from? Don't forget, it'll be at least 6 months before you get your grant from the War Damage Commission.
Yeah, we know. That's where you come in.
I do?
Yes, you can kill two birds with one stone.
But how?
Well, the bank can put up the money to buy this Thorndyke chap's stock, so you provide us with timber and save him from bankruptcy.
That sounds like a very good idea.
It is, isn't it, Miss Perkins?
Well, I honestly don't think the bank can shell out any more money.
There is another way out.
Oh, what's that?
Tell him, Parky.
Well, it was Miss Perkins who suggested it.
Really?
You see, as the pier is so old,
you could probably call it an ancient monument.
Yes. In that case, you would qualify for a grant under the Preservation of Ancient Monuments Act. Oh.
Now, that means the three of us would have to go down to London again, find the right department...
Oh, good heavens, all right. Oh, yes. I think perhaps the bank might find its way clear to advance the money on a short-term basis.
Oh, thanks a lot, Arthur.
Oh, I wanted to go back to London, go to that windmill.
Yeah.
You know, see those things that Mr. Rogers looked at.
You
wicked thing. You're wicked, you are.
You've been listening to It's 6 Hours, Half a Mile, starring Don LeMessurier as Arthur Wilson, Ian Lavender as Frank Pike, and Bill Pertwee as Mr. Hodges, whose characters were originally created by Jimmy Perry and David Croft. Also in the cast were Vivian Martin as Miss Perkins, Reginald Marsh as Sir Wensley Smithers, Michael Bilton as Mr. Thorndike and Civil Servant 3, Gordon Clyde as Civil Servants 1 and 5, and John Glover as Civil Servants 2 and 4. It Sticks Out Half a Mile was written by Harold Snowden and Michael Knowles and produced by Martin Fisher.